This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Greetings, and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman in Tower. Tonight on the show, for the believer, the battle is in the mind, conscience, will, and purpose, and here is where the work of faith begins. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 9th day of June, 2017, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 8, starting at verse 1, through chapter 12, verse 16, Zechariah chapter 2, starting at verse 10, through chapter 4, verse 7, and the New Testament portion is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through chapter 16, verse 31. We have recommended reading on our warn-usa.com and warnradio.com, The Epic Saga of Responsibility. It was on Pentecost 2017 that I took to writing the Saga of Responsibility as it had been occurred and revealed to me. The message is short and the saga is quick, but the truth can be learned if you have ears to hear and a heart to receive. Danger ahead as the leaders of the world dig heads into sand. That's for sure. Moronic leadership fuels gutless Dems in California. You can read both of those on warn-usa.com, warn-radio.com, or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can listen to this from our warn-radio.com site, player-only site, or listen from warn-usa.com and get in on prophecy news, world events, in-depth teachings by the Watchman, and other specials. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. And did you hear the intro that
time? I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah, well, that was good.
Well, that part worked. However, on this stream that we're doing, our server, if there's any lag at all, I mean any silence at all, it switches it over.
Huh.
And so it switched over while you were talking.
It did?
Yeah.
Did I lag?
There must have been a silence in there somewhere, but at any rate, I'm not worried about it. We're learning. I mean, we're recording this live on the server, and it's streamed out live right now. But we also record all of this, and this is going to be our videos, which we put up over on Vimeo and on our own site, and we're recording the audio. So while we're doing a stream here, we're also preparing two other streams to put up in various other places later. So at any rate, I'm glad that worked out. It's a little thing that you know, instead of going through the muck, I went around the puddle. So that's technical jargon. So at any rate, we are here again on a Friday night. Thank the Lord, huh? Did I lose you, Tower? I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that Friday's come around fast for sure.
Well, at any rate, it's been really hot and things are growing around here. And so we are, you know, I mean, we are really glad that it is in this time of year.
Yes, we are.
We love this time of year, and, you know, we use it as much as we can, growing up, growing stuff. And, you know, the good thing of it is we were over at the river, and I was checking out some of the asparagus patches over there and didn't find nothing, so I had to come home to find some asparagus. Yeah, we have a real, we don't have a big patch, but I have some growing that I planted a long time ago, and then I planted raspberry bushes after that, and the raspberry bushes took everything over. So I still have some dynamite asparagus, and I mean, these things will grow to, you know, where you can eat them about 8 to 12 inches. They're about an inch thick. Now, they're not all like this, but we get quite a few, that number of them that we can get big, and we put them on salads and stuff. So that's what I like about being self-sufficient and being able to grow stuff. And while we don't have a lot of places to grow things, the essence of the idea is that you do grow stuff. And you are able to do this stuff and have food and, you know, be prepared. And so it makes a lot of difference. I mean, our spinach growing. It's going to be harvest, and we can cut some of that pretty soon. We have a couple of different kinds of greens growing in addition to that. And we got a lot of stuff growing, but we're really glad to be here in this thing. We hope that whenever you hear, everything's going well with you. And we have a shout out to all of our friends around the world and our those who help us and pray for us and contact us. We thank you. And so tonight we're going to be starting a new series, and this is about the brain matter. You know, it really is. I'm going to get into, you know, where a major portion of the battle is, and I mean to tell you, this is where it's at. You might think that it's, you know, well, the big part is fasting and prayer. Well, you know, that's a part. It is a part. But, you know, you have to know how to take care of one of the biggest things that the enemy uses, and your own flesh uses it as well.
Yeah. The mind is a battlefield.
It is. And a lot of people lose that battle, you know. And so, at any rate, let's see, what else is going on? Of course, the Comey testimony. And, you know, folks, I do the news show Thursday night. Tower and I do that. And after that, you know, I'm not interested in throwing anything up on our websites and doing much more, because the news is such a mess. And, you know, I stay away from a lot of that, you know. I'll tell you one thing, though. Jackie Mason, he's a comedian, and he is getting up there in years, but he puts stuff up on Breitbart, and he did a funny thing about the Comey testimony. And he does do a lot of stuff, you know, like that now. you know, there's just so much of this other junk that's going on. But, you know, the thing that's really funny is CNN, the liberal network, has fired its second anchor for trashing Trump and doing a lot of other stuff, mainly saying what he does about Trump and tweets and things. And, you know,
that kind of surprised me.
Well, I got to give kudos to CNN. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
The thing of it is that I believe you got to be professional in that. And some of the stuff they're saying is uncalled for.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't abide with what's going on. Many people don't, but you're not going to stop it. Trump came out today and said he was willing to testify. You know, I mean, you know, they hate him. A lot of them,
I know.
You know, Waters and a lot of these other Democrats, they hate him. Oh, yeah, I'll go talk to him. You know, it's just like, you know, hey, they're your enemy, guy.
He's not afraid of them.
Well, you know, they say that he gets a lot of that because he's been in New York all of his life. And you know, that there's just that in-your-face, you know. Of course, he's learned to fight the hard fights in New York. So I don't know if doing this as president is any harder, but to me it sure seems like it because, man, they have just been absolutely blitzkrieging this guy. And, you know,
they're horrible. They treat him terrible. They're horrible.
Well, yeah, they do. And it's absolutely unconscionable as far as I'm concerned. There's no excuse for them to be saying those things. And he's due respect for the elected office, you know. And, of course, Hillary, they're all over her this week saying that she's just breaking down and has no sense of reality anymore. And
thank God she didn't get in as president.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, I agree 100%. And Bill Clinton, I haven't heard from him. I don't know where he's going, but every time I see the Clintons, I see either Chelsea Clinton or her mother. Old Mr. Clinton, he don't get in a lot, much of anything. He's still giving speeches, I guess, and stuff, but, you know, I'm not really sure where we're at and all that. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, today there was a picture of Trump celebrating the fact that they opened a Pennsylvania coal mine back up.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, during this testimony, as soon as the testimony of Comey got over with, you know, the stock market went up on positive news because everybody was afraid financially that if Trump gets waylaid that everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket there's a lot of money that is riding on him and his ability to do a lot of this stuff, and he's already gotten commitments from several governments to invest in America. And now Poland came out and they said, we're going to have another referendum and we're going to discuss allowing migrants in. And so they're on the bandwagon along with
Germany.
Well, Trump, you know, Poland doesn't want them in. And there's a few of the others, a couple of the others. But Germany, of course, is letting in a lot more. So you know, just one of those things. I don't know. I don't agree with this wholehearted open the border thing, you know. And it just, you can't do it, you know. You got to know who's coming into the country. You know what?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you do.
So, at any rate, let's see. What else is going on?
I don't know. Haven't been looking.
Well, you know, we are here in June, so he's made it halfway, pretty much, July, August, September, October, November, December, yeah, you know, halfway through the year, you know, that's half a year too long for many of the Democrats, but, you know.
Yeah, they'll get over it.
Well, yeah, they better. They're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel sorry for them. They need to get over it.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for them either.
You know, and the thing of it is, I really like, there was this article the other day that, maybe it was last week even, that, Maxine Waters was in her district, and someone came up to her and said, "You're not my representative. I voted for Trump, and that's who I want in." Yeah.
Good for them.
That person was probably in the minority, but...
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I haven't heard much from our representatives, you know, our senators and stuff. It came out a little bit ago. What's happening here is everybody's preparing for the eclipse coming up in August.
Yeah.
And it's really getting to be big news. I bought a magazine over at the Natural Food Store, and it's about the eclipse. But we, you know.
Have you looked at it yet?
No, I haven't had a chance. I've been too busy trying to get all the tech stuff done. I mean, I've been on the websites, and I've been on the server getting that part done for the stream. I've been embedding stuff on the websites, not to mention upgrading it, and then working on my system here on the PCs to get everything to where they'll kiss and make up and work right. And
good grief.
Yeah. So at any rate, that's the way it is. I am tickled to death that it's not, you know, like 40 below right now.
Oh, man. Couldn't take that.
And let's see, you haven't heard much out of North Korea. You haven't heard much out of China. Things have been kind of quiet in the world. Iran blamed, I was going to tell you this earlier. Well, you know, you and I were talking about the attack in Iran by ISIS. We covered that on the news yesterday, last night. And they blamed Trump. They blamed America for the ISIS attack. See, because they believe that America started ISIS. Now, of course, Alex Jones has this whole thing down, as do a number of others. But in reality, even in my own research, in the beginning, when Hillary was working with Obama to try to do something about Syria, America's thing was to get rid of Assad. So they were looking for what they called moderate Muslims to help, and they gave them weapons. And some of these weapons that went to these moderate Muslims wound up in the hands of ISIS, because the moderate Muslims joined ISIS, and that's where this began. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that that in Benghazi. See, now that's another thing. They drag, you know, all these people of Trump's over the coals, including Trump. But nobody wanted to cover Benghazi. Except, of course, the people that lost people in Benghazi. And most of the rest of us wanted to know what's going on and why Hillary got away with it. As well as Obama. But, I mean, who knows? You know, the whole thing. I mean, that's the way it is. It's just like, you know, this is nuts. So you can really, you know, Iran, you might think they're crazy, but, you know, we do have that evidence that America, in some of its side-saddled policies, helped to promote weapons, and they fell into the wrong hands, which was ISIS. So, you know, and then, of course, when they went into Iraq, The Iraqi army left at that time, just fled, and most of the tanks and everything that we gave the Iraqi army fell into the hands of ISIS as well. So that was more American-made goods falling into the hands of the wrong people. And so this is how come ISIS, with American-made tanks and other things, because the Iraqi army fled, they were able to do what they did in Mosul and other places by wiping out Christians, Christian churches, raping, pillaging, etc., you know. And, you know, I mean, Obama got away with it. Hillary wasn't held accountable for nothing. And,
yeah, that was wrong.
Yeah, now they're, you know, they've been all upset at Trump for 6 months now. I mean, they're going to have to let it go one of these days.
You'd think.
Yeah, you'd think. But, you know, many of the commentators, you know, they just say that these Democrats, you know, they're not going to let it go if they have to. But Jackie Mason pointed it out, you know, they loved him, and then now, since he's testified, they hate him. And he says tomorrow they'll probably love him again.
Yeah.
You know, and that's true. I mean, these people slip from hatred to love to hatred again, depending on how it'll benefit them, you know?
Yeah, they're so fickle.
You know, so, I mean, that's just really the way it is. And we also want to tell you a little bit that now on our Warn Radio sites, warn-radio.com is one of our websites, but that website now is a player for our stream. So if you type in the browser warn, warn-radio.com, you will pick up the radio and our website, which is all in the same thing, and it will play our stream. And right now, I've been able to program it this week. I'm going to, and it's just in the preliminary stages of programming. We've got the playlists and things like this going as well. But it streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, if you get on the DanaGlennSmith.com site and the Warn-USA.com site, we have players, we have explanations, we have little widgets that show you what's coming up and what's playing and this other stuff. So there's a lot of information about the radio. We've still got to work on a lot of this stuff and get everything going. But that's basically where we're at right now. And check it out, listen to it. You can, the one big player, you can actually listen to the show, you know, the whole time you're going around the net. So check it out. It's from Warn Radio, WIBR, and it's a lot of our news, you know, it's filled with biblical, solid biblical teaching, Word of God, and stuff like that from Warn Radio.
Yeah, that's exciting. Praise the Lord.
Well, it is. You know, in this world of trying to find the Word of God, our sites now have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Word of God is playing on our websites. And I like that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I mean, it's in the stream, it's going, you know, this thing plays from our server all the time now. And so, that's exactly what we meant for it to be, and then we're going to intersperse it with live shows. So, keep an eye on it, and we'll see where this all heads. And I still, you know, I was thinking about the book that I have written. I've got to get that published, Tower.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we're gonna work on that in the next few months, you and I. We need to drag that out and go through it again, and I need to get over on and get it published.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So we're looking at doing that. I have some other in-depth books I want to write, but this is a series that I wanted to write, and I've got two more books or three more books I want to write. It just depends on how it goes. I've been sitting on it for about a year.
Or two.
Yeah. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that we'll just see. You know, I really didn't take my, the one website I started, DanaGlennSmith.com, the way I really was thinking on doing it. Because I felt in my heart after I got going that I needed to write what I write. And I write prophecy, and I write, you know, biblical in-depth stuff. That's what I do. You know, I'm not interested in being a junk writer for some liberal corporation. They can keep their money. I'm interested in writing for the Lord and putting up things that are going to make a difference. And so that's what I do. And the only problem with that is the world looks at it and says, well, you know, I mean, you know. And that's including when you're looking to get a book published. You know, the world invariably is looking for other kind of books than what I write. And
I'm not true.
I'm not going to substitute. I'd rather have a book written honestly and from the heart and have two people read it honestly than write a book that's against my morals and have it be a bestseller. You can keep the bestseller.
If
I can't write what I believe in my heart, I need to write, then I'm going to write, but I'm going to put it on my websites like I do. And people can come and read it, and if they don't read it, it doesn't matter. It don't matter.
Yep.
The fact is, I've been writing and publishing for a lot of years now. And I'm not going to stop now. And Tower does a really good job of proofreading them. At any rate, check out the websites, and have a good summer. You know, really. I mean, as messed up as it is in this old world, enjoy this summer.
Yeah, if we can have peace, that's a big, huge blessing from the Lord.
Yeah. You know, that's true. And so, at any rate, I want to get into the midst of this, Tower. Do you have anything that you want to cover before we do this?
Oh, no, I don't. Excuse me. So, go ahead with your...
Okay.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Alrighty. The spiritual battle of mind and body. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:44. He says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so, while we might think, well, you know, we live in this physical body and this is all there is, that's not all there is. And there's those who are spiritual about it and believe that the spirit's going to live forever and that, you know, it's going to go to a higher plane and all the rest of the higher consciousness teaching. The fact of the matter is that there is a redemption. And God intended all along to redeem people through his son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now you see, the natural body is that body which is the body of death. It's defiled. It is born in sin. It's not going to be redeemed. The spirit, the soul, is going to be redeemed. And it will be a body that, a resurrection body, and we can get an idea of that from looking at Christ after he resurrected from the dead. Because the interesting thing about that is that he was able to walk through doors. I mean, that, you know, walk through doors, you know, materialize, dematerialize, appear as if people didn't know him. They didn't recognize him. And he was able to eat physical food. And plus that, you know, they watched him ascend, you know, in a cloud to heaven. So he, his body that he revealed to us, and it's written, of course, in Acts, you know, it's one of those things that gives us a glimpse of this new body. You know, I mean, you're not going to be taking a jet or a car anywhere. You know, it will be that if you think about it, you'll be there. And so the fleshly body, I call the body of death, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And of course, that happened at the fall. And so your mind is part of the fallen nature. It's carnal. Your body, the rest of your body, your appetites, you know, all this is the carnal nature. And it makes up that fallen aspect. But yet in this fallen aspect, through Christ, we've been given the power to live above the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life. You know, and these other things that we battle with. And so, thus we have this spirit man, the soul, within that soul, you have man's imagination, memory, and understanding. And then in the spirit, you have man's powers of reason, conscience, and free will. That's the immaterial nature. That's the nature you don't see. And there's one thing God did give everybody, and that is a conscience. And I was raised as a young boy with my dad telling me God gave you a conscience. Now, my dad was a Christian, a believer, and the thing of it is that he made sure of certain things, but he always, you know, would tell me that, you know, that little voice, your conscience, will tell you right or wrong. Now, of course, we know in Scripture that that conscience can be seared. So you have an intellect within a man, intelligence. And it is supposed to discern between right and wrong. Now, again, the problem that you have there is that although God has given us these things, they can become seared, they can become hardened to the point where God can't reach a person. And, of course, you have the senses, sensibility, that tells you have to make the decision. And, you know, there's this portion within you that, well, I've got to make a decision whether this is right and wrong, whether I should do it. And then you have a will. Okay? And And you do know the right and the wrong sides of that in the in this intellect, sensibility, and will decision. And it depends upon which thing you're really going to follow. Now, see, some of this stuff that we're going to be getting into is deep. And we're going to be hitting on some things to help you fight and be able to take care of things that is or can be very bothersome. The conscience. I'm going to go into a little more depth when we talk about conscience. Now, Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Their thoughts and the thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so the conscience, 15. Their conscience also bearing witness. And you see, for instance, the Gentiles never had the law. It was given to the Jews. It was given to Israel. And they lived in it, and today they still live in it. Now, the Gentiles, you know, of course, they were the pagans in the nation, the goyim, the unclean, and they didn't have the law. They served other gods. And so they had their own laws virtually unto themselves. They do whatever they had decided, and that's it. But see, the thing of it is that deep inside, whether you are the pagan Gentile, the goyim, or the Jew, there's the conscience that God has given all men. And so today, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a Christian, whether you're an unbeliever, whether you're an atheist, whatever it is, God has given that witness to all men, a conscience. Its job is to bear witness. And in the Greek there, in Romans 15, the word conscience, sunadisis, it means an accompanying knowledge. So when you look at something, the accompanying knowledge is the conscience, as we call it, and it lets you know things. Now you see, if you're ISIS going through when they did in 2014, 2015, you're following, the law of war and pillage, that which Muhammad did, that which the Mahdi did. And so you have no problem pillaging, killing, cutting off heads of people who refuse to accept what you want them to. See, so your conscience is going to be seared against another conscience, which may be a Christian, who sees what you do as absolutely wrong. And then, of course, there's the issue of the various holy books, and of course that has a big thing to do with people today as to what they're really going to believe. But it's interesting to note that the conscience, though, can even overrule things. And we see this time and time again. Even in the fact of Muslim jihadists. I mean, when ISIS, there was a small group of ISIS foreigners who had come in to Mindanao and into the large Sunni enclave there in the southern island. And they have 200,000 Muslims in that city, and it's a Sunni city. And they have also in that a number of, like Al-Shabaab and other Islamic groups, Sunni groups, that, you know, they're jihadists. And so they wanted to have an ISIS thing down there, a presence, and, you know, so they went up to a city and attacked it. It made news all over, and they're still doing stuff. But you see, in this one city where they went in, there was a Muslim man. And he was outside. He saw, he went into his house, and the Christians had nowhere to go. They were fleeing. And so he brought him into his house. And he hid him in his house. This is a Muslim man. So ISIS came up and talked to him, and he said, well, I'm a Muslim and stuff like this, and he, you know, so he talked him out of coming in the house. They didn't search the house. But see, this Muslim man saved, I forgot what it was, 18 or more Filipino Christians. Now, why did he do that? Well, you see, he had a conscience. See, the accompanying knowledge was, it's not right. Now, I'm a Muslim, and these are Christians, and we believe different, but yet they're my friends, and I know them, and I'm going to save them. The other ones coming up were Muslims like he was, but he disagreed with what they did. See, and we do see that in the Muslim community. There are Muslims with conscience. I've told you that before, even with Gatestone Institute and others who work hard to tell you the difference between them. But see, Islam itself, when you get into the nation that has Sharia law, almost all the time it winds up persecuting Christians. So there is that conscience. Now see, over in India, it's the Hinduism that persecutes Christians. But see, the conscience is there. Now, see, in 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with the conscience. He says, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour. Now he's in this section, he is talking about eating food unto idols. And we're not going to talk about eating food unto idols, offered unto idols. But see, this is what he says. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. See, in this particular thing, you have an idol, and you have food set out, and it's been offered unto them, and they usually do these in parties and stuff. Now, in restaurants, they have this going on, too. There's a restaurant here, and I went into it for a couple of times, and then I got to looking, and they had this huge Buddha that they put out right in front of the buffet line, and that buffet in that restaurant was dedicated to Buddha. Now, see, with conscience, I'm not going to eat food dedicated to another god. Now, it's not going to send me to hell. See, because if I pray for it, that food is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And so I can eat it. But yet, you see, the conscience in me says, no, we're not going to eat food dedicated to that Buddha. Now, Paul says these people, their conscience being weak, becomes defiled. Why? Because they didn't listen to the conscience. The conscience had said, this food is for this idol. And they ate it anyway. They had a conscience, but the conscience was weak. Now see, a conscience can be a strong thing. But once it's defiled, once it's hardened, and see, today, one of the biggest things the enemy tries to do is get Americans and the church numb to sin. You see, back when I was a boy, the rise of homosexuality in all of its forms and transgenderism and all this other stuff we have today would have shocked society into a stupor. I mean, it would have just, you know, it wouldn't have gone over at all. Now, see, today we see so much of things that are in-your-face sin that we're not shocked anymore, which means your conscience is getting used to these things. And after a while, you get to the point you don't even know what holiness is. Or you might get to the point where you don't even believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and the Word is... And the Word of God is, you know, the Word of God, truth, veracity, and is good for all faith and practice. You see, you can wind up falling away from the truth simply because your conscience is no more able to tell you, hey, this is right, this is wrong, this is the truth, this isn't the truth. See? And all of this is connected. Titus says in 1:15-16, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now see, when you're walking in God, God wants you to be pure. He did not save the church to walk in uncleanness and godlessness. That's why Paul spends a greater part of Galatians in chapter 5 talking about the deeds of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. So you have the spiritual works that are of the Spirit, and you've got the carnal works. Now see, we live in a carnal society, and we have carnal churches, we have carnal people, we got carnal Christians, and we have not figured out the point that you need to be pure. But once you begin to accept the fact, which the devil wants you to accept, that these unclean things are okay, you get to the point where many a prophet in the Old Testament, when they were talking to Israel, and God would tell them, you know, you don't know what unclean is. You can't defile between the clean and the unclean anymore. You're my people, but you don't even know what clean is and what unclean is. See, and that's the way we are in many places in society today, and even in our churches. We don't know what clean and unclean is anymore, because over the period of years, we've allowed ourselves to be taken in. We've refused to stand up. Our conscience spoke to us and said, this is wrong, it's not right. But we said, no, I can't say anything because they're all going to get upset. So we quell the conscience. We shut the conscience down. Or when the Spirit of God tries to convict you, you quell, you quench the Spirit of God. Or when you read the Word of God, you look at it and you say, oh, no, that was for back in Israel's day. That's not today. You see, all of these things get you a point where your mind and conscience becomes defiled. And when you have a society like we do, not only in America, but around the world, you see, you have many people that, you know, they're unclean. They're not pure. They're not walking in the things of God. And the only way you're going to be pure, you need to go to Calvary. You need to receive the Lord. And you need to walk in His ways and believe on Him. And He will give you of His Spirit. And He will enable you to walk in the deeds of the Spirit of God. And rise above the lusts of the flesh. You'll be able to fight these things in your mind. You'll be able to rebuke these spirits, and you'll be able to walk in a purer manner than you've ever done before. But once you give in, even in the church, if you're defiled, you're defiled. If you're in a church, I don't care that you call it the Church of God. It's defiled, and those in it are defiled. And when you have a pastor who doesn't have any more sense and he opens up the Bema seat to a Muslim to preach from or any other faith, then he's really screwed the place up. Because that Bema is holy and it's an anointed place for the true minister of God to stand and give the word of God from. That's the Bema seat. But see, even that's been defiled in our churches. See, the pastor becoming more like a corporate president and the board more like a corporate board who answers, you know, to all their fellow people who have an investment in their corporation. And see, this is really where you can see this in today's society. You know, if you're serving God and you believe in Him and you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be defiled. But see, when you are defiled, unbelieving, walking in the deeds of the flesh, your mind and your conscience is defiled, and there's no way you're going to know truth. And so for you, the truth may be your truth, and it may be the truth of society, but it's not God's truth which sets you free. Now see, here he ties this to this. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now see, Titus ties the conscience being defiled, the mind being defiled, to people who profess that they know God. That sounds like the church. But see, the thing of it is, just because you happen to be, oh yeah, I know God, but you live like the devil. You're abominable, disobedient. You do things that are absolutely reprehensible before God and totally against the Word of God. See, people don't believe this stuff anymore. Their conscience is defiled. The church's conscience, many of them are defiled. They don't believe it anymore. They don't want to believe it anymore. They're getting tired of the struggle. So the conscience, that thing that God has given us, which has an accompanying knowledge of right and wrong, becomes defiled or becomes hardened. Hebrews 9:14 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Purge. Have you ever purged a sewer line? I mean, that's really what dead works are. They're like a sewer. See, you hook another hose up. Unless you need to roto-root it to get it kind of where it'll flow. And then you hook a line up to it. Now see, in many cities, they will purge their drainage systems and their lines by opening up the fire hydrants and things. But see, they'll hook that hose of water up and they will turn it on full blast. And it'll blow through there and clean that thing out. That's the same thing. When you get a lot of junk and garbage and nonsense in your spirit, and I'm talking to you Christians, and you've read too many stories, too many articles, you've been down at the bar with the boys or the girls, and you've heard too many nasty stories, you've seen too many reprehensible things, maybe you're into porn, I don't know what you'd be into, but whatever it is. See, once you get your spirit, your mind, your soul filled with this world's donkey dung, that's where the devil wants. Because a Christian ain't worth nothing if he's full of donkey dung instead of the living God. And Titus says they profess they know him, but they don't, because in works they deny him. They're abominable. There's no way they know God, he says. Paul said in Hebrews, the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit. The blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant. The Lord died on the cross for your sins. He being filled with the Spirit of God offered himself as a ransom for many on that cross. And because you believe on this, believe on him, and by faith, God gives you the power to purge everything that's in you out. But see, it's not just getting rid of it and then stopping. It's serving the living God. Now see, this is where the Word of God comes in, because it's living water. You want to purge that sewer line of dead works in you. You want to purge that sewer line of all the junk you watched on TV. You want to purge yourself from all the junk that you see every day, and all the things you hear, and everything you're around, and even your own lust that you're tired of. See, Christ can purge you totally, purge you body, mind, soul, and spirit, to where you can serve the living God. But see, when you're walking in uncleanness, if you're impure, your mind and conscience is impure and defiled. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That water is the Spirit of God. Yes, there is baptism, but your body, mind, soul, and spirit is washed by the blood of the Lamb and the Spirit, that living water which is within you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, the Lord said. See, you need to sit down with the Word. And you need to listen to the Word or read the Word, and you need to get that water into your spirit, into your mind, into your soul, into your spirit, and let it wash away the unbelief. Let it purge you that way, because that'll work. You know, you have a house and there's an atmosphere and things aren't right in it. Get some good old gospel music on. And I don't mean this modern funky hoedown stuff. I mean At the Cross, Nearer My God to Thee, The Blood, Amazing Grace. You see, the old time hymns that spoke of redemption, that spoke of the cross, that speaks of the blood and the shedding of the blood. I can tell you that every devil in hell hates that stuff, because that is music that speaks a message and scares the hell out of them. You put that on in a house full of demons and something's going to come out. You put that in your house, you begin to see things happening, then what you need to do is clean that house. Need to cast these things out. See, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of uncleanness. He's given us power. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. A sound mind. See, Christians shouldn't need psychological counselors in churches. That's man's doing. God's allowance is to cast the things out, get your mind, your body and soul into the Word of God and into God Himself. Let the Spirit of God move in your heart. Confess anything you've done wrong and stand and be cleaned. But see, we pussyfoot around with this stuff. 1 Timothy 4:1. And see, this is where society is today. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's the hot iron of rebellion and sin. See, this is that thing coming in and searing the conscience. See, have you ever heard of cauterizing a wound? You can't get, say you cut yourself and you can't get it to stop. Or you're afraid it might be infected. You get a hot iron, you get an iron. You stick it in a fire until it's red hot. And then you put it on that wound. Put it down deep where the wound is. It'll hurt. But that will cauterize it because of the extreme heat will kill everything that might be there. Infections or whatever. Now see, the devil uses that when he can take some of his stuff and sear the conscience of a man or a woman and say, this stuff's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. If you're doing this, God will forgive you. And just keep searing your heart and mind until pretty soon you say, oh yeah, you're right. You know, God is love. He ain't going to do anything. Now see, there's nowhere in Bible does it say that the conscience can be destroyed. But they can be seared. They can be evil. They can be hardened. Now you see, there's another place where when we talk about conscience, you see somebody that does something. And let's look at just about anybody that you know. When people do stuff and they do it wrong, they begin to feel remorse for it. And that's because their conscience has not been totally seared and ruined. It's reminding them, even though they're walking in a bad way. You know, and if you have hardened sinners, they go out and do something. You have someone that murders or kills, and all of a sudden they turn themselves in because of their conscience. See, the conscience can be very, very powerful. And, you know, I was raised that way, as I said before, but today, you know, you don't hear a lot about conscience. Now, see, we're talking about the spiritual battle of mind and soul. See, because the battle, you know, the devil uses the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Those are the three avenues. But he utilizes all five of your senses. What you can touch, what you can taste, what you can smell, what you can hear, and what you can see. Well, there's something else, what you can think. So he tries to attract you to that sin through your five senses. And through your mind by giving you thoughts concerning them. So, you can sit there, and if you do not rebuke that thought and cast it down, he'll send another one. And pretty soon it will convince you, okay. Either that or these thoughts will literally drive you crazy. And that's happened to people. Keep them awake at night. They can, and he also does it through dreams. See, all these things can be fought. Now, see, when I'm rebuking these things, I rebuke the flesh because the flesh is weak. I rebuke the spirit that gave that word, and I rebuke the thought. The flesh, the thought, and the spirit. And then I bind that spirit of uncleanness and cast it out into outer darkness. Because he found his way to give you that. You don't want him around. See, because this is the battle. And when you live in America and you're surrounded by things that are attracted, you know, when we talk about the senses, look at the restaurants we have. Look at the houses, the cars, the jobs, the money, you know, the lifestyle. I mean, good grief. There's tons of things that the devil can use to attract you. But the one thing that he always tries to do is get you caught up in some kind of sin and convince you it's okay. And he also wants to quell that conscience. And he wants to make sure that you can't use the conscience or even think straight concerning things. And I think if there's any one thing you need to understand tonight, and I can tell you, if I was speaking to an audience of 10,000 people right now, I would tell you that 10,000 people have this problem. Because the enemy, not to mention your own spirit, your mind, your thoughts, your conscience, can all work against you. And that's why when you put faith with the redemption and the Word of God, that works as that purging power through Christ to enable you to stand. In 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, you see, Paul was known because he had sat under the feet of Gamaliel, at the feet of Gamaliel. He kept the law blameless, he said. And he would have been around when Christ was preaching, and he would have been familiar with all those in the Sanhedrin and with the high priest. That, you know, he would have been involved in all of that. And for anybody that was a Jew, they would have seen Paul as being someone that was walking in truth. But he says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor and injurious. Who is he blaspheming? He was blaspheming the Lord because he was dragging his people into prison. And he was discounting the name that they were walking by, walking in. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. And he was dead set on destroying this sect. But he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now see, he was able to be changed because of what Christ could do. Now you see, the thing that separates our conscience as a Christian and the unbeliever is the Spirit of God. Don't believe this nonsense that all paths lead to heaven. You know that. You should know that. That's garbage. The fact of the matter is, there's one Lord and one God. Our God and Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. There's no other Redeemer. There's no other way. There's no other truth. This is it. And unless you're willing to say the Word of God, that which Yahshua, Jesus, preached to the apostles, and the apostles preached to the church. And then, of course, you have the Torah, the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament. That is the incorporated Word of God. And within the Word of God, we have this presence called the Holy Spirit, which helps us as we read the Spirit, read the Word of God, as we live from day to day. Now see, Paul says it this way in Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. See, his conscience spoke. But it spoke in the Holy Ghost. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that said, yes, Paul, this is true. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now see, in that making you free and knowing the truth is the Spirit of the living God that guides you into all truth. And as you're being guided into all truth, you have your conscience, which is that other. And this conscience joins and receives these things of the Holy Ghost. And your conscience is cleansed, made pure, to where you can make right decisions, have a right conscience, one based in truth. Because, see, today there's one truth. It's not the truth you see on the street. And it's not the truth preached in some of the churches. And it's certainly not the truth in Washington, D.C. The truth is the Word of God. No matter what men say, no matter what nations do, no matter what other churches, religions, and people say and do, whatever, the truth is what my Word of God says, as confirmed through the Holy Ghost and my conscience, they will all agree. And so, you know, Paul said, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have great confidence towards God. Now your heart is going to receive that which comes, and it's not going to do anything unless it hears from the conscience. See, they work together. That private place in your heart because everything agrees. Your heart, your conscience, your spirit, the Spirit of God. And you know that you can stand before God. You know that you're doing things all right. But if you do something wrong, your conscience will prick you. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. The Word of God will convict you. And your own heart will say, this is what you did. The heart is the personal aspect of who you are. You know, that heart is where you receive Christ. That heart is the inner part, the very soul. It's that little chamber in there that God keeps alive. That's where the Spirit of the living God is. See, this is why it's important when we're talking about a battle and we're talking about purity. Purity in walk begins with purity in the heart and purity in the mind and walking based upon, you know, what your heart, your mind, and your spirit are believing. If you don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God, you're not going to walk in holiness. But if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have confessed Him and seek Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you get into His Word and continue His Word, you're going to become His disciple, and you will know that truth, and the truth will set you free. And you will have a clean, clear, pure conscience. This is how it works. And that's why it's so important to understand these things. Now, the will. You know, when I think of the will, I think of the I want to. Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. See, you have a soul. You have your heart or your soul. That's you. God gave you the power to choose. And folks, in my life, I've chosen. I've made lots of decisions. And there's no way I could tell you that I made a perfect decision every time. You know, even in regard to God. He knows that. He knows our flesh that we're weak. But see, that will is very important. And the will, see, and this is where we are again in trouble in this day and age. Because we are a self-seeking generation. See, the will speaks of the personal. The will is you. What you want, what you will, God has given you the power to choose. Now, of course, that choice may lead you to a devil's hell. But that's your choice. And God gives you that choice, and He will judge you for that. You may choose another God, another Savior, another country, another whatever, but it's your choice. And see, today we have a whole generation, generations and generations of young kids. And they've been taught this self-seeking, the me generation, hedonistic behavior. It's about me. It's about what I think. It's about who I am. And so one of the greatest things with cell phones today or smartphones is the selfie. And you have entire applications for these smartphones. And their whole purpose is to allow you to take a portrait of yourself and share it with all your friends. You know, now I was on, I like pictures of various locations around the world. And so there's a section on MSN, I think it's MSN Travel. I haven't been to it in a long time. I don't look at MSN much because of the liberal swing they've been. But when I was on it, they had this one series of shots where this guy followed either his wife or his girlfriend, a young woman, and all you saw was the back of her head as she went around the world. All these exotic locations, and it was the back of her head. I didn't look at them all, but I saw enough of them, and then I saw other articles of her where she was still doing it. See, because that's our generation. Why would I want to follow you and just see the back of your head all the time? And, of course, your back and your butt or whatever, you know, the woman, you could see her. And she wasn't dressed inappropriately. She was just looking, you know, nothing wrong with the way she was dressed. But see, that's the me generation. You know, you got Instagram. You got all these things where you can do little videos of what you're doing. Well, I'm brushing my teeth right now, or I'm going to the bathroom right now, or I'm going outside doing this, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. You know, and we become entranced. You know, we follow the movie stars, and we want to know what they're doing every second. You know, and so today, you know, when we talk about even the political scene, people are personally insulted that Trump got in. Because we're the me generation. We are selfish, self-centered, prideful, and we look to ourselves. See, because we were told that Trump didn't have a chance. We were told that he was a bad man. So now since he won and good Hillary is crushed, I'm mad as hell. I ain't ever going to like you because you hurt me and you hurt my friends. See, this is the me generation. It's not based on common sense, it's based on selfishness, self-centered, see? And that's part of the will. You can choose, but see, we've been taught to choose for ourselves what's important to us. What a crock. Romans 7:18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Now see, that is a problem. Because your will is not enough when it comes to being redeemed. You can will to be saved, but unless you actually find a way to get saved, you ain't going to be saved. See, that have the Muslim jihadists now killing themselves in war in this jihadism because they've been taught that if you go kill a Christian or somebody else and die in jihad, you're going to go to heaven. Well, that ain't going to happen. There's a lot of Muslim warriors down in hell right now kissing up to a bunch of demons because that's where they're at, in hell. You're not going to get redeemed unless you go through Christ. Because, yes, it takes faith, but you need the power and our God and Father who set it up. And I taught this in blood guilt. And that's being redeemed through the blood. Because life is in the blood. God has always determined that in the blood and through the blood there would be atonement. And unless you have atonement through the blood has to be of Christ, you will never find redemption. You have to receive him, believe on him, and walk in his ways, and he'll give you then the power, John chapter 1, to become the sons of God. But you can will that till hell freezes over. And nothing's going to happen. Willing ain't going to do nothing. Something has to happen. And that's where God's calling you in, getting you prepared, and bringing you unto himself. And you become redeemed. You find power. See, this is what we've been talking about tonight, I believe, is some of the most important items that you need to know. Bar none. Because you don't realize how far you can fall. And many times you don't realize how God has lifted you up, how he has set you free. Now you see, in this last day's ministry of ours, you know, I've been saying we're in our 20th year. Well, if I figure from 97, then I figure 20 years from the point that God was beginning to call me to the time I'm here. But we started way back a long time ago, many years before that. And I can tell you that there's things that they don't teach you in Bible school. Not by a long shot. There's things that you can only learn through the revelation of God and His Spirit. And I'm telling you tonight that you can find deliverance and help in these matters. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless those that hear this word whenever they hear it. Help them to understand the teaching and help them to listen to every part of this series so they can get to the point where they can find deliverance in these matters. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from this preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Amen. Boy, I can't believe that it's over already. The show, that's disappointing. It's good, and this is a very important teaching. In these last days, I think the battle is even, it's ramped up. It's stronger. The spirits are stronger out there. And you really have to be on guard.
You do.
With the Word of God. And so I'm glad that you're doing this teaching. It's very, very important. And it's a battle. I know I fight this battle a lot, as Dana well knows. We talk about it all the time. And I'm glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Well, it's something that I learned. And it's by the grace of God that I learned it. God revealed it to me. The Spirit of God. And, it applies to dreams, false visions. I mean, thoughts, desires. I mean, there's a lot of things that this, what you're going to learn here, if you will listen.
Yes, I believe that.
So, at any rate, tonight we are counting down, getting ready to get out of here tonight.
Well, we're thankful that you guys have joined us whenever you do. I hope this message, this teaching, is a blessing to you and helps you in your walk with the Lord. And God be with you and bless you and enjoy your Sabbath rest.
Yes.
And we love you and appreciate everything you do for the kingdom of God. And so does the Lord.
So at any rate, tonight, we want to thank you. Good night, everybody. We're getting ready to run her on down. We're getting out of here. So we'll see you on the other side.
God be with you. Good night, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.